You've been invited here this evening to listen to a Bible talk on Where Will You Spend Eternity? This is to be dealt with by Mr. Phil Craddock in due course. But he's asked that we'll introduce his talk with a Bible reading from Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered in his way, because of the man who bringeth forth devices to pass. Cease not from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that is that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for ever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into the smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and leadeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell for evermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved for ever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell in for ever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Where will you spend eternity? We look to our brother Phil now to answer that question.
Good evening, everybody. A few years ago, more than a few years ago, an experienced brother, an experienced speaker, said to me that you should have a reference every 5 minutes. So throughout an address, there should be about 6 Bible references that you turn up. Hopefully you'll forgive me, because I've got about 10 that we shall look at. But we won't spend 5 minutes on them. Hopefully we'll average about 3 minutes, or maybe even less on each one. I'm a fan of short talks myself. However, there are quite a lot of references in this address, and I have got some sheets there with references on for you to take if you would like to. I won't be offended if nobody takes any of them at all, so they'll just go home with me. The inspiration for the material in this talk came a few years ago when I was at work, and a lady brought me a cup of coffee, and she said, I'm just wondering how I can tell you about my faith. And she was quite amazing, this lady, and I was very respectful of her faith. And she went on to tell me of her faith and of the fact that she had looked at the Christian religion because she wanted to see her mother again. And she went on to say what she believed. And she believed that when she died, her soul would go to heaven and she would be able to be with her mother in that way. And whilst I was very full of admiration for the faith that she had, and which was a living faith, and it indeed had a reflection in the way that she lived her life, I obviously had to say that I disagreed with her that principle, that belief. So we had quite a discussion as to what we believed and our differences concerning eternal life. Now, as a young person, you may think that you've got forever, and it's a wonderful time being young, 15, 16, 17, 18. You've got your life in front of you. It's a really exciting time, and I've got children of that kind of age, a little bit older, but and it's a wonderful stage in their life, that they're stepping into the world, and they could think they've got 60-odd years ahead of them. But as you get older, the considerations, and what with the general busyness of life, are more with the here and the now. And you may be concerned then that with the fact that, is there an afterlife? Is life beyond this? Is there a life beyond this? Is there this, in this eternity that there is, which, whether you believe in God or not, you still have eternity to deal with. Is there some way in which we as people have some kind of dwelling in that eternal state. For it, indeed, the thought of eternity without us being there is a daunting prospect, isn't it? Because, as somebody has said, and you've heard it said, you can be a long time dead. So, what is eternity then? Well, man has his own ideas as to how he relates to eternity. But if we look at the meaning of eternity, according to the dictionary, it's a noun, it's the idea, a concept, and it means indefinite time or time without beginning or end. Now, eternal, which is more to do with the subject that we shall be dealing with, relates more to us tonight, is the adjective. It's the description of something that is everlasting. Eternal means everlasting or forever, according to the dictionary. For example, God is described as being eternal. He is everlasting. Now, in the Bible, the word eternity only occurs once. If we will just look at that, if you may, please. Isaiah chapter 57, sort of in fairly well in the middle of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Now, in this chapter, we get a comparison between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous are spoken about at the beginning of the chapter, and then the wicked are spoken about from then on. And saying basically that there is no hope for the wicked. And then we get verse 15, and we see in the words in verse 15 that there is a hope there to be had. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So there God is described as the one who inhabits eternity. And he, it says there that he's there to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So there is a hope there described and presented for us, for a certain type of person, a person that will be humble and of a contrite spirit. The word eternal occurs many times in the Bible, and we'll look at one passage just to start with. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 68. And the context of this is that Jesus had many disciples, but there were certain things that he was saying, and the implication was that he was going to die, and things were getting harder for them. And so consequently, they were leaving, disciples were leaving, and it seemed that there were only the 12 left. And we get verse 68 of this chapter. It says, I'll read verse 66 for connection. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So there we see also that hope that there is contained within the scriptures, expressed there by Simon Peter, that Jesus had the words of eternal life. And we're going to look at that a bit later. And the word eternal here is translated, using a concordance, it is translated forever or everlasting. And eternity in Isaiah chapter 57, using the concordance, it's translated, can mean everlasting, evermore, or perpetually. So we see then the idea, the concept of eternity, but also that which dwells within that that concept, can be considered eternal. So that which is eternal then inhabits eternity. So then, where will you spend eternity? That's the question asked in the title of the lecture. Now, there are many perceived alternatives. I'm just going to go very briefly through these perceived alternatives that men and women hold throughout the world. The first one is, and you can say that Christadelphians also would agree to a certain extent with this, is the grave. This is the belief of evolutionists, humanists, atheists, those that have no belief in a God. It's also widely believed that the conscious part of ourselves, meaning the soul, can live on after death. And that soul can inhabit, will inhabit either a place of torment, otherwise known as hell, or can inhabit a paradise or heaven. And we see similar beliefs such as that are held by various cultures and religions throughout the world. The ancient Egyptians believed that. Hence, you've got the pyramids built to enable the Pharaoh in his continued eternal life. We have Indian tribes that believe that. We got the reincarnation is another process that accepts that, when we get a perpetual cycle of life reoccurring. So what happens to this immortal soul, or this reoccurring cycle of life, to the person concerned, depends upon the life that we lead today. Although a moderately good life should ensure a place in heaven. There's also another facet. The Roman Catholic Church believe that this soul will go to a place, the state of purgatory, and this soul resides there until enough money has been paid by those still living that it can go on and reside then peacefully in heaven. The Mormon Church have a similar belief. I know this through, I used to work with a Mormon, a man that was a Mormon, and he used to talk about it to me, and he said that he would like, they had a genealogy department, and he said he would like a job there. He thought it would be a good job to have, working in the genealogy department of the Mormon Church. So they have a similar belief that they can in turn save those members of the family that are dead. These beliefs are not confined to Christian or denominations, or those that are closely associated with Christian denominations like the Mormons. We see, don't we, in the radicalization of young men and women today, and very recently, a 24-year-old man must have believed this himself, that he would go to a paradise by performing an act that took place on a beach in Tunisia where many people were killed. The atheist in turn also has a belief in a kind of eternity. And I know this because I know an atheist that has professed that he doesn't believe in himself being able to live on after he's died, but he believes that takes place through his descendants. So wherever you go then, men and women have this inherent belief that this life is not the only thing, and they would like to think that there is some part of themselves that goes on. They cannot face the fact that that might not be true. So let's go then to the origin of this belief. If we go back to Genesis 3, we're just going to look at Genesis 3 verses 4 and 5. you go back to Genesis 3 here, remember that God had given Adam express orders that he could eat of any tree within the garden, but not of the fruit of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And it seems that it was up to Adam then, because that was to pass this message on and to teach Eve this, that you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because it says in the previous chapter, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know, don't we, from in chapter 3, that the serpent, who was more subtle than any beast of the field, we may as well start at the beginning of the chapter, which the Lord had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, that wasn't true, because God hadn't said that, had he? He hadn't said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. He didn't say that you shouldn't touch it, and didn't say, lest ye die. He said, you will die, you become a dying creature. So it's in that word, lest, it's the idea that we can't eat of that tree, because if we do so, we might die. So the importance of the message that God had given to Adam had not been conveyed by Adam then to Eve. So that's quite an important point to make. So when we come to verse 4 and 5, it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So there are two things here, two ideas that bring about the downfall of man, basically, and are the origin of false teaching. He says, you shall not surely die. So he says, basically, man naturally then possesses a kind of immortality, that common belief that is expressed today in the 21st century. And he says, you shall be as gods, well, the revised version, God. The word gods or God there is the word in the original, is the word Elohim. It's referring to those Elohim, or the angels that were involved in the creation of the earth. So it's I wonder then, is it the serpent is saying to Eve, you're no longer you merely going to tend the garden. You have to do that. You're going to be as the angels. Your job is attending the garden. You're going to be promoted. So it seems that they, in eating of the tree and the knowledge of good and evil, it was the desire was there to achieve a perceived privilege from God, if you like, but with little or no regard for what God actually said. And we see then the origin of false teaching. That I'm going to do it my way. Yes, I want the privileges. I want to be religious, but I want to do it my way. And that's, I believe, is the first false doctrine, the beginning of false doctrine, the beginning of false teaching that has grown and grown until we see today men and women believing that whatever you do, whatever life you lead, you have an inherent immortal spark within you that will go on after you are dead. So then, what does the Bible say about death? I'm going to quote quite a few of the verses and refer to them rather than turn them up. I did promise that we weren't going to turn up too many. So it says in Genesis that after this incident, God says that in the sweat of thy face, to Adam, thou shalt eat bread till you return to the ground. Because for out of it you were taken, It says, unto dust, unto dust thou shalt return. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And that's part of the curse that was faced by Adam as a result, and men ever since, as a result of them not taking notice of the words that God said. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 then. And I think this is a really good verse that shows us the foolishness of believing in something that is taught by those that would wish to corrupt what is written in the Word of God. So it says in verse 5, it's ever so well known this, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion for ever in anything that is under the sun. So it says there, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know not anything. So there can be no immortal spark, conscious spark that lives on, conscious part of ourselves that lives on, because we shall know nothing. The dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward. It says, and their love and their hatred and envy is now perished. So all those emotions then that are experienced by what is referred to as our soul, are gone. Verse 10 says, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no hope, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So once again then it's saying the same thing. For there is no hope, there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, wisdom. There's none of these, there is nothing like this in the grave, whither thou goest. And that's where naturally we will all end up. The beginning of that verse is really good, especially for young people, I think. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So then, the opportunity that you have today, whatever you choose to do, do it with thy might. Because we know from the psalmist that we have a Psalm 69, it says, we have a limited time period in which to live. So therefore, make the most of the opportunity that we have. Do it with thy might. Because once life has passed, that opportunity has gone. So throughout those verses, that verse there, and I've got several others that you can look at afterwards on the sheets of paper, we see that the soul simply means, it means a breathing creature, animal, a man, or life, or the heart, the mind, us, you, me. That's what the soul means when it's referred to in the scripture. I just quite briefly like to consider this concept of hell. We'll turn, if you like, to... We will turn to Genesis chapter 37, verse 35. Verse 35, and we see the context here. Genesis 37, where Jacob has been reported to by his sons, and he's been told that his son Joseph is dead. Genesis 37 verse 35. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down unto the grave, unto my son, mourning, mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now, the word hell in the Old Testament is simply is the word Sheol. It means grave or pit. And so Jacob is saying there, I will go down into Sheol, or hell, unto my son, mourning. Now the irony is, Jacob later on says the same thing when he's told by his sons that he needs them to send Benjamin to Egypt. He says, ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow unto Sheol, or unto the grave, or unto hell. So Jacob then acknowledges the fact that at some point in the future he will go to this place called hell, which religions of the world would tell us is a place of eternal damnation. Now the irony of it with Jacob is that he was such a man of faith that he's mentioned in Hebrews 11 along with a lot of other faithful men and women. We can also take that a little bit further if we go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, where Peter is speaking and he's quoting words from Psalm 16, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, referring back to this psalm, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my hand rejoice, my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. He goes on later and to comment on this this passage. He says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So Jesus then, the greatest man that's ever lived, went to hell. He says that his soul went to hell. But of course we know that simply means he went to the grave, or the pit. He went to the grave and was resurrected by his Father. Got a few references now. I'd like to look up progressive. Describe them as being fairly progressive. They relate one next to the other. Remember, we looked at that verse at the beginning of our talk from John chapter 6. Thou hast the words of eternal life. So let's look at the words that Jesus used then when he talked about eternal life. We just see a few principles established by him. So we start at Mark chapter 10 then. Mark chapter 10, verse 30. The context of this is that Jesus is saying, if you truly put your hand to following him, then you will be given eternal life. Given. It's still a gift. But if you truly put your, you know, put your life in a position where you are to follow him and try to do your utmost, then that is guaranteed. You will be given eternal life. That's a wonderful thing. It's not something that we can gain by works, by earning it. It's a gift. Mark chapter 10, verse 30 then. Verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. So he's saying, if you follow me now, you will be blessed today. There will be a blessing. And then he says, with persecutions. Well, there's also going to be, you'll be blessed, but there will also be hardship. And he said, and in the world to come, eternal life. So if you truly put your hand to following Jesus, then you'll be given many things. You'll be blessed, but at the same time, because of your stand, your belief, there will be persecution. But in the world to come, eternal life. Eternal life, then, will be given in the world to come. The margin says in the age to come. So it's not something that exists now. It's something that will exist in the future. It will have a start. Let's go over to the second reference on this run is John chapter 3. Chapter 3. Very well known verses, these. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, basically, it says, it emphasizes one thing, that we are naturally, we have no hope. Naturally, we would perish. Because it says, if we believe in him, we should not perish. So, by not believing in him, then we will perish. We will die without hope. But he says that God so loved the world, or God so loved the age, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. So there's a certainty then, if we truly believe in him, and therefore in doing so we strive to follow him, then we won't perish, but will be given eternal life. So the great principle that we need to take there is that we must accept the Lord Jesus in order that we can be in a position to inherit this eternal life. But if we do so, then we have a great and certain hope that we will one day be given that when he returns to the earth and establishes his kingdom. John chapter 6, verse 54. John chapter 6, verse 54. It says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we must then remember Jesus. And it has to be a sincere remembrance. And if we do so, he in turn will remember us. There's a certainty again in that verse, isn't there? Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will. It's not saying I might. I will. If we do these things sincerely, then Jesus says, it says, I will do this. There will be a reward. John chapter 12, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So what that says really then is that we must place more importance in this world or this age to come than today. That's very difficult, isn't it? It's very difficult as a young person, just as you're setting out on in life, and you're just leaving school or college, university. You've just started a career, you've just got married, you've got young children. This is, we need to place more importance on this world, this age to come, than today. But he says, if we do so, he says, he uses the word shall. He doesn't say, you might. He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world, and this world doesn't offer very much, does it? It's unsafe physically, one half, and unsafe morally, the other half. And we've seen from recent events over the last fortnight, we talked about that this morning. But he says, you shall keep it unto life eternal. There's a definite promise that you will be allowed to possess this eternal life. You'll be allowed to live in the coming kingdom. Go back to our last reference in this run, John chapter 10, verse 27. These are words of great comfort, I think. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So he says, if you follow, as a sheep does a shepherd, if you do so, then nobody is going to prevent you from being able to enter into that eternal life, into that kingdom. That eternal life that is a gift. He says, I will give unto them eternal life. He says, and they shall never perish. So the hope is there that we will never perish, that the eternal life is there for us if we're prepared to accept Jesus as our Saviour and strive to follow him as a sheep does his shepherd. We look at his life, we think of his life, we consider his life, and we look at what's recorded of his life in the scriptures. And we have plenty there recorded for us to strive to emulate in the way that we live our lives. And if we're doing so, then we are being as sheep to a shepherd. And then there's a certainty, isn't there, that he will give us this eternal life. So let's go then to our final reference, Psalm chapter 37. I'm conscious I'm going a little bit over my time. So the question is then, where will you spend eternity? Well, Psalm chapter 37, it tells us all the way through, doesn't it? Very, very quickly, it says, so verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the land. So then, if we wait upon the Lord today, then we've got that hope that they shall, it says, inherit the land. It says in verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So it's the word shall there again. There's no doubt about it. It's a certainty, providing we are prepared to do what God asks. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. So if we strive to be upright, if we strive to, it's in the Revised Version, it says perfect. Well, if we strive to be as sheep to the shepherd in reference to the Lord Jesus, then it says their inheritance, our inheritance, shall be forever. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. So that's basically saying the same thing, isn't it? If we strive to do the right things in our life, then we shall inherit the land. We shall be allowed to live and be part of the kingdom of God upon the earth. So verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. So there's an opportunity there. If we wait on the Lord and keep his way, then those that do so shall be exalted to immortality, to live in the land, to live on the earth, to be part of the kingdom of God. So then, just summarizing those few points there. So those that wait upon the Lord, for example, the meek, the righteous, those that strive to do that which is right, those that strive to follow the Lord Jesus, to be as sheep is to a shepherd, will inherit the earth, where there would be an abundance of peace. So the troubles and stresses and strains of this life, they will be gone. And this inheritance, we know, is everlasting. Just like to wrap up by just a little personal story, if I may. When I asked Judy a few years ago, I said, right, can you give me a lecture title? And she said, where will you spend eternity? And I said, that's a good one. Nice one. Very good. That's excellent. And then sometime later, my father-in-law passed away, and I got given his lecture notes, his address notes, and the very top one says, it's the same title, where will you spend eternity? And I thought, isn't it my lecture? But then I looked at the date, it was 1985. So it was, he gave it many years before I prepared or gave it. But the great thing is that by the mercy of God and by the belief that we have in God, there will be an opportunity in the future where I can go to him and perhaps we can compare notes at some point. And I can say to him, that lecture you did, I did the same one. That's the wonderful hope, isn't it, that we have. That's the reality of the hope that there is, that we will one day be able to mingle with those that have fallen asleep. So then the question I leave with all of you, and myself is included in this, is where will you spend eternity?